Meditation.
Meditation.
Depending on the quality of my mind.
You know, there's good days and bad days.
I mean,
days
I just feel like the waterfall of thoughts. And every now and then, a nice calm.
I can't think of anything.
This is Meditation in the City.
The Shambhala New York podcast.
And I'm Dave, your host. Welcome back to the podcast, or if this is your first time, thank you for listening to the podcast. This is a weekly, more or less, podcast about meditation in the city. Do you have to live in a city to listen to this podcast? No. City is the proverbial city of your life in these modern times. Today on the podcast, Shastri Elizabeth Reed is going to talk about the power of opening up to our sense perceptions. What does that have to do with meditation? What does that have to do with living in a city? A literal city or a proverbial city? Well, you're going to have to listen. There's some real secret sauce that Elizabeth Reed is going to share with us today. Visit our website, ny.shambhala.org, for all of our upcoming courses and weekend retreats. Again, we have an introductory meditation course at the Shambhala Meditation Center of New York. It's called Meditation in Everyday Life. It's a 5-week course, although in December, for the holidays, we're offering a couple of shortened iterations of the course. Beginning daytimes, December 5th, or beginning evenings, December 7th. This is a weekly course to learn all about meditation and to start your own home meditation practice. Check out the website, ny.shambhala.org. Click classes and programs for more information about that or many other offerings coming up later this year and in the new year. And now, here is Shastri Elizabeth Reed.
Gathering strength from the richness of the phenomenal world. We need to gather strength right now, I think, in this time, in this day and age. And the ground of doing this is, as human beings, we are beautifully equipped to engage fully in our world. We are shown and we understand that we have innate kindness, innate gentleness, innate wisdom, and innate strength. These are what all humans have. And when we practice meditation, we begin to access our own, we find our own spot, and we find our own self-worth. And from that, we know how to be kind and loving to ourselves, and therefore to others. We realize we all share the same journey, the same challenges as human beings. But it does come from sitting down and spending time with our own mind and heart and seeing what we find. You know, not shying away from any aspect of ourselves, completely feeling our own lives. We are the only person that's going to live this life. So it's very important that we feel it. So, one thing that, how many people have a regular meditation practice in this room? Very good. How many people have rarely practiced meditation at all? If any? Okay, good. So, those who have done some amount of practice may have found when you practice that, this is what I found initially, that my sense perceptions became very sharp, very magnified almost. I walked outside after a session and everything seemed to be much brighter and much clearer. And many people have that feeling and they say, well, I feel like my sense perceptions are really sort of not aggravated, but strong. And basically that happens simply because we've let go of something and we're seeing what's actually there. It's not so much that they have become different, but we have let go of our grip on how we think things should be, how we think things should look or feel or taste. So we're opening slowly to the world as it is. And the sense perceptions on this path are considered sacred because they are the way in to the moment. They only happen in the moment. So they're our doorway into the world of openness, the world that's actually primordial, before thought, before any activity comes into our minds, those moments of complete connection to our world and to our own hearts. So I think often meditation can be seen as something of an intellectual endeavor, like I'm sitting here, I'm watching my thoughts, I'm trying to figure myself out, but without our senses engaged, it's an empty endeavor. We bring the mind into the body and the body into the mind with meditation. It's a very physical act. And without engaging our sense perceptions and our senses, it's sort of a lifeless endeavor. And it lacks nourishment. There's no nourishment there. So I was meditating this morning, and my cat was sitting across from me on a chair, and I was pretty well settled in my meditation, but I have to admit I was having thoughts about tonight and this talk, and suddenly I heard this piercing cry coming from a ways away, and I thought, what is that? Just completely popped me awake. And it got closer and closer, and I had no idea. I had no idea what it was. And then suddenly, it was very loud. It was right on my fire escape. And it was a blue jay. You know, those piercing cries they have? And it was interesting because in the first cries, it felt like primordial. I had no idea what this was because I've never had a blue jay on my fire escape since I've lived in New York City. So it was very interesting. My cat got up and ran to the window, and I walked over, and there it was. And it sort of looked at us, and it had something in its mouth, and it just took off. And it had landed in, my husband and I have a little herb garden out on our fire escape, and this was in the, I'm trying to think of that. The sage. It was in the sage pot. So anyway, from that wake up, I walked over and sat down, and my cat came and sat right in front of me, and she looked up at me like, what was that? You know, she's looking at me. And I looked at her, I said, that was a blue jay. But we were both like really sort of shaken by that, and that it actually changed the atmosphere of the room. And she's not a cuddly cat, but she turned around and she put herself right between my legs and just stayed there for a while, like, whoa, you know, we'll see what's going to happen next. But it was an interesting experience that even though we think we're meditating, we think we're there, the world is so much louder and stronger than our habitual thoughts. They can break in just like that. So and it said the world wants to communicate with us, is constantly communicating with us. We're the ones that aren't listening. You know, it's like all we have to do is open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds. But it's not so simple. Sometimes it's very, very difficult, especially in New York City. Also, I feel like in this time of uncertainty and tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, how do we maintain our own sense of ethics, our own sense of how could we maintain openness, optimism, intelligence, kindness during these times? How do we maintain it? It's, well, with practice, it's by not doubting ourselves and not doubting our own experience, which means we have to feel and hold both the beauty and the tragedy, the beauty and the suffering, both. We have to learn to feel and hold them both. But what I feel is happening, or can happen at this time, is people are getting buried by the tragedy and wanting to understand and read and find out what's going on. But I think we can almost become addicted to this constant news feed, in a way, and we can stop accessing the beauty. You know, we really need to find some kind of balance, I think. And the way that one of the ways we can do this is we could go further with opening to our senses, with opening to our sense perceptions. There's a possibility of relaxation. And this also comes with practice. So we begin to allow space around our thoughts, around our feelings, just allow space. So we could begin to allow space around our sense perceptions. And that space would give us more ability to simply be with those senses without dropping into habitual pattern or without dropping into addiction or just being overwhelmed by our senses. If we learn to allow that space, it's the same space that we cultivate in meditation practice. So it said that perception hits us first in our hearts. There is a level of Shambhala training that is taught, level 4, and we speak about this idea of our sense perceptions first hitting us in our hearts. First hit. So it's very heartfelt. Heart. And then, if we can't hold it, it quickly goes up to the brain and we start analyzing and figuring out, and we've lost that initial hit. So one of the ways that we can invite more openness and ease with our senses is to try to stay a little longer with that first hit of a perception. And we could actually give ourselves the space and time to go toward our perceptions, toward the richness of our lives. We all have things in our life that sparks us or infuses us or makes us feel whole. And those things, we each have our own way and our own experience, but we could go a little further into those things by opening and beginning to draw in experience rather than just, oh, that's nice, acknowledging it. So there is a teaching, there is a weekend program that is taught toward the end of some of the Shambhala teachings. And it gives us a way to actually go into the richness of the world and allow ourselves to become closer and closer to those experiences that we find rich, that allow us to, we talk about drawing in, actually consciously drawing in that energy, but we're also just opening to it further. And it's sort of like stopping to have a conversation rather than just saying, oh, that's great, and moving on. But we could actually give ourselves a little more time. In fact, we have to slow down a bit and give ourselves some time to honor some of these rich experiences that come our way, to honor it and not, and to consciously draw it in. And this is something that is said when we do it properly, it doesn't cause harm, but it actually enriches us and fortifies us. It fortifies us. It's like we have a full experience of an encounter. It's very nourishing. And we do it naturally in certain situations. Maybe we have an art form where we fully engage, we know we can do it. There really is no separation between us and our experience, even for moments. Or we do a meditation retreat and we walk out and feel like we're just flowing through our world. There are no obstacles. So these are ways of actually dropping the boundary between ourself and our experience, between ourself and the world. But it's a little more conscious, and it is actually facing and having that energetic connection, being willing to dive into it and let go, and not judge. And it's very important that you go in with no agenda, like, all right, there's this incredible thing I just saw, but who knows? I just want to explore. Just go toward it, open up, and see what happens. If we go in with an agenda, oh, this is going to be great, you know, I know this, I've experienced this before, It's done already. We've already ruined it. But again, these are skills that we cultivate through meditation. Do you need some water? I need some water. It's very dry in here. So also, we have everyday life opportunities to do this. Walking down the streets of New York, anything and everything could capture us. I walked down the street, one street today, and in front of me was this probably 11-year-old fearless kid juggling, so fearless and so confident, had three things going in the air, and that, I just let myself feel and connect with that energy. And then there was sun on a water tower. The sun was glistening off the water tower. Okay, there it is. But then go there. Be that. Be with that. It's really allowing ourselves to merge, to weave ourselves in with the world. Those perceptions are ours. And it's like there is this unfiltered, direct perception we can have of things and the world if we approach it this way. So we're asked to just take advantage of those moments and go further, go a little further with them. So I thought maybe just we could do a little exercise here with some direction about doing just that. But if you want to just, well, take your seat, which most of you are, and be somewhat upright. And now I'll just describe what I would like you to do is just in a moment, kind of drop your agenda and sort of stay with your heart and just let your eyes or your ears or your sense of touch just look around, maybe scan the room and feel yourself and let something capture you, something that you find rich, something that you find magnetizing. Just let something come to you. You don't have to make it happen. Anything at all. And when you've found that, now have a sense of drawing that into you, drawing it in. And then maybe a sense of diving into it without agenda, just letting that resonate. Back and forth. And when you feel that is full, you can just let go. Okay, did that make sense to you? Could you follow that instruction? It's just allowing ourselves to stay open a little longer. Really, that's what it is. Just a little longer. No, and let the world come in. It's so amazing. So amazing. It has so much to teach us. The other part of this, in terms of strengthening, is how we set up our own environment, how we set up our homes. we could eat good food, the best that we can afford, wear good clothes, have order in our homes, have brilliance in our homes, have plants, have flowers. All of these things that enrich our life, and we could live with them every day. They're great supports for us to enrich us and to strengthen us and to fortify us, just like having an incredible meal, fully beautiful meal, and you're done and you feel fortified and happy. And you look it, too. So part of this enriching kind of action is that we do this also for the world. We then embody that. And it's seen. You can see it in people's eyes when they're full of something. They're full of something they love. You can see it in their gait, in the way they walk. So part of this is actually doing this to offer to the world, to tell the world that there is a way to live and completely enjoy our lives. So I did want you to do a dialogue with each other in a moment. Do you have questions around this, what I've presented so far?
Thank you, Elizabeth. You're talking about these moments whenever we can be present with the moment a little bit longer, allow it space, allow it to allow ourselves to really be fully present, and then allow it to unfold naturally. I suppose it would be wonderful if our life were an unending succession of those moments, but how do we choose the moments in the meantime?
How do you choose the moments in the meantime? Yeah. Well, I think they kind of choose you if you're open. You know, it's more about going out and noticing. Even that word, just noticing. You know, it's almost like we could have a posture of appreciation. All we want to do is appreciate. I just want to appreciate that flower. I just want to appreciate it fully. It's so beautiful. I want to give it its due and actually be it. I want to be it, you know, that feeling of, and we are. There is no separation. Really? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm realizing actually that usually when I have that impulse, when I'm walking around New York, I take my phone out and I take a picture of whatever it is that is doing that to me,
picture.
And then I never look at it again.
Yes.
So every time I want to take a picture, I just stop and be there.
Inhibit the picture taking. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm guilty of that too, because I love photography, but it's like we were in the museum a few weeks ago, and I was so astounded that people would just come and take a picture. They were in the way taking pictures and not even looking at the art. Really, not looking at the art at all, not taking it in at all. How do you connect to art at all if you can't really do this kind of practice where you let yourself go in and feel what's coming back at you. Instead of click, click, click. It's astounding to me that is happening.
It's a very commercialized way of looking at life because we're trying to acquire something.
Yes.
It's like inquisitiveness, right?
Yes, yeah. Instead of being inquisitive, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shastri Elizabeth Reed, and friends. The rest of the evening was comprised of an interactive exercise, so the talk portion itself, slightly abbreviated. You can hear these talks live and in person if you go to our weekly Dharma gathering. It's every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Shambhala Meditation Center of New York, where you can meet the teachers, engage in all the various interactive exercises that might be happening, or at the very least, there's a reception after the talk where you can meet other meditators and meditator-curious people, meditation-curious meditation curators. Every Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. If you don't live in the New York City area, there may be a Shambhala Meditation Center near you. Google it up. Check it out. Thanks for listening. Later.